Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host today, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Tuesday, October 23rd, 2018. Well, hello, Butch.
Hello, Melody. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. And how are you?
I'm doing okay. I really am. I'm feeling better. I want to get all this stuff behind me, and I guess after Thursday, the biggest part will be over, and I can get back in the groove a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, I know how it is when I'm out of my routine. It's just like I just don't function well, so, and particularly when you have that issue that you have. So you'll be in our thoughts and our prayers, and we hope
you appreciate a speedy recovery
so you could get back to work.
Well, I'm gaining ground every day. I actually don't feel bad. I don't feel bad. I just have to get this over with, but physically I feel fine. I had to take Marsha today, get some things taken care of, and I just went around the routine like I always did, moving quickly, moving along. I know this surgery will slow me up for a little while, but I'm not feeling bad. I don't want to get in the woods. I haven't been doing hunting this year. Those kind of things. Do you know the sitting around for a month makes you feel tired?
Yes, it does.
It makes you feel weak even. You know, so I'm going to go back to work.
At your age, it's very easy to lose your strength.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
I hear you. Well, you know, darling, you ain't that far behind me.
I know, but I'm still behind.
some people are so rude.
And gold was a little bit behind the high of its day today. We had a high of 1240. Right now in the New York spot price aftermarket, we're looking at 1230, up $8. You have silver up 18 cents at 1481. Platinum was up $11 at 836. And palladium was up. Another big day for palladium, 1.5%, up $17 at $1,138. I would assume there's a little bit of a weakness. I didn't have a chance to follow the dollar market today. It's down, but only slightly, 0.09 at 95.94. Crude oil took a beating today, 4%, down $3.12 at 66.24. And let's go to the paper markets. We have, let's see, right here. You know, very early morning trade. I've been getting up at about, 4 o'clock, turning. You know, the first thing I do is it's an old from Bob Chapman days. He always said he got up early, turned on the news, and you know, I kind of got into that habit too. It's 4 o'clock. The market was down over 500 points on futures, and so it had a pretty volatile day today. It came back. I'm not sure it went into positive territory. Right now we're looking at the Dow. Let me get to my better stock market prices here. The Dow is down 125 points, 25,191. The NASDAQ was down 31 at 7,437. And the S&P was down 15 at 2,740. So, you know, folks, you know, we can talk about it all day long, about all the warnings out there. There's 14 of 19 bear market signals that have been triggered, and this is from the Bank of America. The 10-year yield today is 3.17%, so a little bit of, you know, it shows that you have money going into, you know, a little bit of a safe haven, but we're going to talk about that later on in the program. You have the Euro 115, Hong Kong, Hong Kong was down 3%. Japan was down over 2.5%. London was down 1.25%. Germany was down a little over 2%. So European and Asian markets are falling out of bed. And it's amazing that we were able to, we were also falling out of bed, but somebody caught our arm and pulled us back into bed. And we were only down 125 points today. So I can't imagine it being a positive up day tomorrow. It seems like it's going to be a little more follow through, but we live in those times where we're just going to have to see what tomorrow brings. But the future, we can't think about what tomorrow brings. You got to think about what your future brings. You know, what's going to happen a month, 2 months, a year from now. And the fundamentals for gold during this during that time and for the markets, has never been stronger. There's no way we're going to continue as is. There's just absolutely no way. There's just too much going on from every direction. And you know what, I saw somebody say this, debt allows you to live beyond your means today, but it reduces consumption in the future. That means you have no future. And, you know, I think about all the money that the government is throwing at our supposedly good economy. So I'm not so sure if the throwing the money at our economy made the economy stronger, or they had to throw it at the economy just to keep it going, because that's how bad it was.
Watching the day, and the Dow was down 520-some points the last time I saw it, earlier this afternoon. It did come back a rebound, a big one.
Yes, a big one. But, you know, when you have this amount of debt, and there's just too... I mean, when we talk about what's happening with the Saudis, and we talk about... there's... You name it. Pick a part of the world. Pick our elections. It's just not going to continue, and I think everybody knows this.
Trump's talking about giving a solid 10% pay cut, tax cut. You know that. He wants to give the middle class another 10% tax cut.
We did talk about that yesterday, but again, we talked about there's no way it's even going to happen. It's impossible. You'd have to be a magician. And where's that 10% money going to come from?
Yeah, exactly. Good point. When the deficit is so big now that you can't even say the numbers hardly. So yeah, you're right. You're right.
So it's there's no way it can be done. These are all election day. I can't say it's not possible. But what? I think the only thing that they could do is maybe make the individual tax cuts from last year permanent. And then what's going to happen?
Well, they discussed that today also, making them permanent. So maybe that's what they're talking about, actually. I don't know. They discussed today making that permanent.
And, lots of times, if you promise the world, if you just get half of it, then you're a hero. You throw everything at it, and then you see what sticks. And if anything sticks, you run with it, and you got something. So maybe that's what they're trying to do. I don't know, but I don't know if this is it. I don't know if they can pull it out of their hat to bring it back. But I don't know. Everything looks pretty strong for gold.
It does. And gold's taken a pretty good rise in the last couple of weeks, hasn't it? It's below 1,200 for quite a while there.
Yes, it was.
Back up in 1220, I think you said. Is that what you said?
Uh-huh.
So that's quite a jump back, and silver's come back up.
Yes, it is. A little bit slower, but you have to remember that silver is tied to the industrial metals. And the industrial metals, although palladium is roaring like the cat's meow. So, and again, I think that's more of a tie to Russia with everything. I think that manipulation is coming from there. So, we'll just have to see how everything, plays out. There was one good article that I saw, and I can't find it. So if you want to bring something up, you can.
Yeah, I want to share some really good news, Melody, for a change. I mean, something that's really a huge step in the right direction. Where it's going to go, I don't know. But you probably know this. The state Supreme Court in Alabama has ruled that a baby is a real person. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have.
And I think it's important to share this because this is a huge step back in the right direction after years of slaughtering unborn children. There's a little bit of kickback coming from at least one state. Now, this article is important enough, I think, to read it, and I think it's very good news. We'll see what happens with it. In a non-abortion case of double murder, an unborn person has equal rights as an adult, ruled the Alabama State Supreme Court unanimously. Friday, the Alabama Supreme Court unanimously ruled in the case of Jesse Phillips versus the state of Alabama that the value of the life of an unborn child is no less than the value of the lives of other persons. In a concurring opinion, Justice Parker boldly called on the Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade. I urge the Supreme Court of the United States to reconsider the Roe exception and overrule this constitutional aberration, wrote the Alabama Supreme Court judge, and recommended that the court return the power to the states to fully protect the most vulnerable among us. And I've got to say this, the power is in the states constitutionally. Article 10 says so. And we don't need to ask the federal government to return. It's ours to begin with. But nonetheless, the case came before the Alabama Supreme Court when Jesse Phillips, a man convicted of murdering his wife and their preborn child, appealed his conviction, arguing that he shouldn't receive the death penalty because his 6 to 8 week preborn child should not be considered a person under Alabama law. The Alabama legislature expressly enacted the Brody Act 12 years ago to protect the preborn babies. Under the Brody Act, the definition of a person includes an unborn child in utero at any stage of development regardless of viability. The Brody Act is consistent with numerous other sections of the Alabama law which recognize equal status of the child in the womb. In his powerful concurring opinion, Justice Parker noted that the old law was changed with the expressed intent of addressing just the sort of double murder on which Phillips was convicted. The national significance of this case cannot be understated. Since the question of personhood has been the linchpin, the so-called right to abortion, ever since Justice Blackmun erroneously wrote in Roe v. Wade that children in the womb are not persons and therefore not entitled to any of the fundamental constitutional protections. Responding directly to Roe's flawed ruling, the Alabama Supreme Court unanimously ruled that unborn children are persons entitled to full and equal protection of the law. Justice Parker, one of the court's most vocal pro-lifers, wrote a separate concurring opinion specifically to emphasize how broadly and consistently the law and judicial decisions in Alabama and around the country protect the rights of unborn children and to contrast that with the continued legal anomaly, that logical fallacy that Roe v. Wade. I think, Melly, that's a wonderful step in the right direction. What do you think?
Absolutely, it is.
I mean, I don't know that it's ever going to come back up to change anything, but perhaps, I don't know this. I read Kavanaugh's record. Kavanaugh is an insider, has been for 20 years, maybe longer. I don't know what he's going to do, but perhaps, by the grace of God and the move of some people, maybe this could turn things around. But I'm going to tell you what, if you think you heard crying from the other side, wait to see what happens if this does turn around. Just like Trump did say he wanted to make it simple on determining male and female. Whatever's on your birth certificate, that's what you are. You don't change it. It's really strange. In Genesis chapter 1, you know, verse 27, and God said, I made male and female in my image. But he said, I made them male and female. He didn't say, I made it, you know, male, female, half in between, she male, they male, whatever. He didn't say that. I made it male and female. And I have to give Trump credit for saying that he would like to at least make a motion that we regard the sex of people as to what they're born with. Now, isn't that a novel idea, Melody?
Yes.
Imagine that.
Imagine that.
I mean, but it's so sad that we have to discuss this. But if this would happen, you talk about riots in the street. You talk about lawmakers being under attack at walking down the streets of wherever they are. If the I hate to use the word left, but I'll use it to nothing else. Somebody is already angry. What's going to happen if their sacred cows are purged?
The social issues in this country are not going to change. I hate to say it. So,
I think you're probably right.
They're not going to change. So.
Can you imagine the chaos? And they should change. They absolutely should change. No doubt about it.
But they're not going to change.
Other side.
I don't mean to put a little rain on your parade, but.
but we have one move though. Two moves now. Speaking in the right thing, whether they change or not. See what I'm saying? It's like at least somebody kick back.
And, you know, and I think perhaps maybe in the future it might change, maybe far in the future, but I don't think it's anything that we're going to see here in the relative couple years or the next 5 or 6 years. Unless this complete society breaks down, which is a possibility.
And that could be.
But the breakdown of society is going to have to happen first. It will not be done by a politician. It will not be done by D.C. It will not be done by the Republicans. It will not be done by probably most of your church-related organizations. Perhaps, you know, within a state or two, you might see a little bit of change. And I don't mean to sound, there is nothing more than I would love to see it, but it's just not going to happen until complete society breaks down. And we're not really that far away.
Unless society would repent, and I don't see it happen either. The people don't even want to repent.
The only time the people are going to repent is when, you know, they have a fear. They don't repent without fear. And there is no fear at the moment.
Well, if the they have fear, they won't turn to God.
Right.
They won't turn to God. They'll turn to man to fix it. You know that.
Right. So there is no fear.
I mean, that's all they've done for years.
The only fear in this country is really the fear of President Trump. They fear him for whatever reason. You know, but they're certainly not going to go to, you know, do any type of repenting. And I don't mean to sound negative. I don't mean to sound like, you know, I'm not hopeful or positive. I look up to be hopeful. And it is nice to see some good news and so forth. And, you know, it's kind of like, well, you know, finally we won a little bit of the war yet. We won the battle. And so, you know, and we don't know how, we have a lot of battles to fight. So we're going to win some and we're going to lose some. But ultimately, we are the winners, though. Ultimately, we are the winners. So.
Oh, I read the last chapter. We win the war. I saw that. If one child in Alabama is spared, that's a great victory. But again, I don't see people repenting, and I don't see this nation being turned around. I truly, 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 biblically don't see it happening. But to see something said or done that actually is a positive, after all the news we see in the other direction, it's kind of refreshing.
It is.
You know, it's like cold drink of water on a hot day, you know. It'll go away, but it tastes good for a second.
Yes, it does.
And it does.
Yes, it does.
But there's so much going on, so much chaos. We're going to discuss it after the break about this so-called migrant march coming up through Mexico and what's going on there. And I have to agree, Trump's got to do something. We got to do something. And we're going to discuss, look at this both ways in a minute, because this is a turning point perhaps in a lot of things in this country. We'll have to wait and see what comes out of it. We'll discuss after the break. I know we're going to break in a little bit, but this is
and
important.
Again, you know, it's just really interesting because, you know, it kind of makes you wonder, you know, that the timing is for the election.
Sure.
And, you know, and the Democrats are darned if they do, and the Republicans are darned if they do. So I'm really not sure who it helps who. But we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Financial Survival brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Please make sure you sign up for the newsletter, and of course you can listen to these radio programs. They are archived on a long-term basis, so Monday through Friday, and you can go back, I don't know how many years you can go back, but a long time. Probably even some Bob Chapman programs on there if you go all the way back to the start. So dgscoins.com. I know you wanted to talk. We can go ahead and talk about the immigration, but before the end of the show, I want to make sure we talk about the foreign buying of how the U.S. treasuries are softening, but let's start with you want to talk about.
Well, I do think this is kind of important, and it's amazing to come up, like you said, just right at the election time. Midterm elections in a couple, 2 weeks from today, I guess, actually. You know, so I don't know. And all the ones I've listened to people talk, I mean, out in public, I like to listen sometimes what they're saying about different issues. And everyone I've heard talking about this is all for what Trump is saying. And I tend to agree that they said the 7,000 people that's walked here come out of Guatemala, and just recently another 1,000 people joined them near the town of Chickamauga, whatever that, I don't know if I'm probably not saying it right, but they're coming on to the United States, and not only that, now they say that people that have been turned back previously, deported illegal aliens, are joining the march also, and they're going to join and come in, and we're going to come through the border, no matter what. I mean, they're actually literally threatening us. And Melanie, this is not immigration, this is actually an invasion. When you threaten a sovereign border, and you come through no matter what, that is not an immigration. That's an invasion. I don't care if it's coming to your house and front door. If 10 people say, we're going to go to Melody's house and move in her house and make her take care of us, or no, we'll go live with her and help take care of the place, but they come in uninvited, that's not a visitation immigration. That's an invasion of your home. You have every right and duty to protect your home.
I got a question.
Uh-huh.
The last time there was this so-called human train that of immigrants that came through Mexico and so forth, there was 3,000, 4,000,
right,
whatever
right.
Happened to them?
I don't know. They, I understand they mostly were absorbed. They were let in. They finally come in. That's
where did they let them in for sure? Do you know?
I'm pretty sure they did. Pretty sure they did. They absorbed them in not all one time, I don't think, but they found them in. But there has to be some, and this is not being heartless. This is being Christian, actually. We're to take care of our own families and our own personal needs, not personal, I mean, but national needs, and then we can help others. We have been giving money to Guatemala and other South American nations for a long time, and I really hate it these people are living a situation that they live in. But let's just go ahead and face the facts. All these are not good people, Melody. All of them are not coming here to go to work. A bunch of them are coming here to live off of us, or maybe are members of gangs, or maybe even terrorists. And that's a fact. And this isn't made up. This is a fact. These things are happening. And the evil people come in with we'll say the so-called good people. The good or bad, if you come across the border illegally, you are a criminal. And criminals should not expect to be housed in a nice motel with all their needs provided and their laundry done and food given to them. That is not what criminals shouldn't expect. They should not be expected to be able to keep their family with them in prison. These are criminals. These are not undocumented aliens. They're illegal immigrants, aliens. They are absolutely breaking the law. And when you come across by force, they storm the gates out of Guatemala in Mexico. They literally storm the gates. And the Mexican military or cops just let them come on in. Somebody's got to say, no, you're not crossing here. You're welcome to come in, do the process the way it's supposed to be. What's the point of having laws? What's the point of having immigration laws if you're not going to enforce them? I mean, which other nation in the world, Melody, would Mexico allow us to crash their border and move in?
Absolutely not.
Of course not. Other nations have done this, Sweden, Germany, and the people are getting angry, are they not? They're fighting back now, are they not?
Yes.
They're saying no more of this.
No more.
They're tired of it. Well, what's the difference between them and us? I don't want to let anybody starve to death, but I can't feed a whole community. Somebody asked me to come in and eat with me, I'll feed them, but I can't have 500 people showing up and saying, we demand to be fed. That's not even asking, that's demanding. And that won't fly in my home, and it shouldn't fly in our nation. There you go.
Well, you know what? I just got this report. Illegal immigration across the southwest border appears to have surged 25% in 2018. I remember it was a year ago that we were talking about how the records were going lower and that, you know, ICE and the Border Patrol were doing their job and they were sending, and it was being dropped by thousands and thousands. Now 2018 surged 25%.
Yep.
Illegal immigration.
More than ever. More than ever before. Coming across last month.
Well, I don't know about more than ever before, but...
Yeah, last month is the highest month ever. I read that right. You go ahead.
Well, I know back in the 90s and so forth, that's when we peaked with illegal immigration, probably in the late 90s, early 2000s. And, you know, and then we started seeing a little, because that's when the open borders were initially opened with the NAFTA and so forth. So we did see a big influx, you know. So I don't know if we set those records back then, but, you know, I don't. But 107,000 illegal immigrant parents and children were caught by the Border Patrol in fiscal 2018. Actually shattering, I guess this is what you're talking about, shattering the old record of about 78,000.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's when you're talking about. September was also the worst month on record for families. I should have known you were right. September was also the worst month on record for families, with 16,000 plus people caught in that month alone by Border Patrol. And that's higher than even the worst years of the Obama administration. This is coming from the Washington Times. The number of people caught is considered a yardstick of the overall flow. So a rise in apprehensions is considered to signal a rise of people who successfully sneak in. So, again, it comes. So, you know, well, you know, one minute we're hearing, and again, I mean, what happened to last year when they were, you know, so it seems like politics as usual.
It does. It does. And I don't know what's going to happen with this election. You know, Trump said without borders, we have no country. And I have to agree. That's true.
I agree.
That's a nation. Without borders, there is no nation. There are no countries.
I agree. That's very true.
We'll see what happens after next Tuesday. I tend to think, and I'm not Republican, I'm not Democrat, I'm independent. I tend to think Republicans are going to get more of a majority in the Senate. The House, I don't know. I think more so in the Senate. I do believe that because the people I hear talking in this area, in West Virginia, and West Virginia, it was a solidly Democratic state for a lot of years. For the first time, I think, since 1930s, we have Republicans in charge of the state House. First time in 60, 70 years. And it seems like still swinging that direction. I don't know that, but we'll find out real soon. For the first time that I've seen a Republican that I don't care much for, named Morsi, is running against Senator Manchin, which I don't care much for either, and looks like he's actually closing a gap on a Democratic senator. Now, whether it's going to change or not, I have no idea. But I'm seeing the trend change. I'm not voting for either one of those guys. I'm sorry. I can't do it. I know them both personally. I don't trust them even for anything to throw in my house. But we'll see what happens after next week. But I do look for some different things to change up in some states, like I think in Arkansas and places. I think I see some things coming that Democrats might be out and Republicans in. We'll see. Then we'll know for sure, Melody, if we get a bigger majority of Republicans in both, especially in both houses, and if the Senate, nothing ain't nowhere else, we'll see what they do to change this country for the better. I just say don't hold your breath.
You know, I think people are just tired of people like Manchin because, the Kavanaugh hearings and the vote is a prime example. He only voted yes just for the election.
Yes, he did.
And it's just like, you know, quit. You know, be who you, you know, I just so get worn out with these. It's so easy to see what these people are doing, and
it's
these
politics.
People are blind as bats.
Absolutely, it's politics. That they don't want to go out of office. Many of these people actually have a pretty good way of making a living. You know that.
Yeah, but it's the people who continue to. That's who I have a problem with.
I know that.
So and blind.
How long that's been going on longer than we've been alive.
No, and I'm sure there was a lot of people talking like us too. But you know, this morning I was shocked. I actually had MSNBC on. You know, first I turn on Bloomberg, then I scout the channels and you know the news and CNBC, and I landed on after I watched Fox, and they were just doing something. You know, I didn't care to hear about, and I went to CNBC, and it was Morning Joe. And I stopped there because I saw their guest. And it was, what's his name, Scaramucci? The guy who was in the administration for 10, 11 days and was kicked out because of his foul mouth. But he was a pro-Trumper the whole time. I mean, big time. Friends that went back, I thought they were friends for a very long time. Well, he was sitting there on Morning Joe. And he's talking about how you can beat Trump. And what the Democrats need to do. And I'm thinking to myself, it's you just don't know who anybody is anymore, except for us. You just don't know.
I'm kind of worried about you. But anyway, go ahead.
Just don't know who these people are. Here's Scaramucci, was a diehard Trump fan. Now he's on CNBC flipping, and I don't know if he's doing it to in a back manner way to support Trump or not. It's the most bizarre thing that I've ever followed. You have these bigger than life personalities, whether you like them or not, and they're all lying and cheating, and no one is really talking about the real issues.
Well, and until Americans get over this right, left, red, blue, Republican, Democrats standard. Until they get over that and start realizing that both parties are basically the same, and we start putting men in office that really are trying to do what's right and constitutionally and morally doing it right, there's no way to change it. But all my life, I've known people who are dead set Democrats or Republicans, and they wouldn't vote for anyone else, no matter who's running. They wouldn't do it. If Christ himself were here to run as an independent, they wouldn't vote for him because he's not on the right party. They're just that dead set in their way. And that's how they got us in this mess in the first place. That's all there is to it.
But, you know, I mean, it's... Go ahead.
I was going to say, but this... I don't see it... I watch it. And I do watch people. I really do. I like to listen to people talk and see what their opinions are. Because that's kind of like the heartbeat of the society when you listen to somebody that's sitting in a hospital or a restaurant talking and they're sharing their thoughts. And most of them are leaning towards Republicans this time that I've heard around me.
Mm-hmm. I think that's going to happen. That's exactly what Scaramucci was saying. He was saying, you know, he says, Trump has you guys running all over the place. He says, he is brilliant at it. He says, you know, he'll drop news one day and the media is chasing him, takes the media 2 days to chase to catch up to him when he's moving on to something else. And everybody's Democrats, you know, they're just chasing him instead of getting out. And again, I'm not saying this to be positive on Democrats. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying but he was right.
Yes.
The Democrats are so stupid and mean and evil, you know, they just end up chasing him, and that's why I believe the Republicans are going to hold, because the Democrats aren't doing anything because they don't know how to beat him. And that's what Scaramucci was talking about. If you're a Democrat and you want to beat Trump, this is what you need to do. But the Democrats won't do what he said. So So I, just keep I do
my,
believe
keep him off balance, and he is on some different issues and topics.
Yep.
I can't keep up. They said that's the same way in boxing.
Yep.
If you can get him off balance, your opponent can't set throw a punch. You got him whipped before you can get in the ring. If you can get him off balance,
yep.
he's done. That's
yep.
what they're doing. I do believe.
And that's what Trump is doing. Yeah. So
now back to different issue. I'm sure you know who Michael Snyder is.
Yes, of course.
Okay, wrote
I talked a little bit about him yesterday. He did a great article on family wages and so forth.
Well, he got one up today on his Economic Collapse blog where he said that we're seeing all the indications of 2008 now. You know, a year or so ago I read, maybe 2 years ago, that it seems like the economy goes in cycles about every 10 years and repeats mm-hmm. itself about every 10 years. And he's saying that all the indications are we're going into the same thing we had in 2008, only worse. What's your opinion on that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, every recession we've ever had, we didn't come out with a strong economy. We came out with debt. And when you have an economy that's all based on debt, it's not a strong economy.
No, it's not.
The foundation is weak. And we don't, you know, our foundation is crumbling. This is going to be worse because we've had world economies synchronize stimulus, quantitative easing, stimulus, whatever you want to call it, into their economies just to sustain life. Now they're trying to cut back. And, you know, we're beginning to see the unwindings. Now, did this start with, you know, Turkey when they were having their issues a couple of months ago? I mean, it's just a multitude of things. And we, you know, everybody talks about, well, you know, the Fed is raising rates so we can prepare for a recession, so we can lower them. I mean, just that thought alone goes against any common sense thinking. When you have that amount of debt, why don't you start to unload the debt, pull in spending, quit giving people all types of tax cuts and subsidies and everything? Maybe then we can battle our recessions in a different manner. But that's not going to happen because we have an economy that's based on debt. They have to create the debt. But the problem is foreign buying of U.S. treasuries is softening. And this is part of the problem that we're seeing in the stock market. And we have a $15 trillion market that's at the center of global finance.
$15 trillion.
You have traders
wow.
and central bankers overseas. Investors are buying fewer treasuries. And foreign...
Well, China's jumping, getting ready to dump stocks. I mean, what's that going to mean?
What's the question?
I mean, China's getting ready to dump a bunch of stocks.
Hold on, we're heading into a break. We'll
okay.
be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. I didn't know. I just wanted to finish this. This was a Wall Street article earlier today talking about how the foreigners are dumping or buying fewer treasuries. Foreigners increased their holdings of treasuries by $78 billion in the first 8 months of 2018. But that is just over half of what they bought during the same period last year. And it accounts for a much smaller share of treasuries issuance. Foreign buyers now hold 41% of outstanding treasury debt. This is the lowest share in 15 years, down from 50% as recently as 2013. So far, U.S. yields remain low historically. Debt funding remains broadly available, and many foreign purchases retain large stakes. We know that both China and Japan still own more than $1 trillion of U.S. debt. There's some other interesting information that was in here. And again, you have to look at these yields on these treasuries. The yields are rising to reflect a risk premium. It's not from healthy growth. And that's different. You don't see these, you know, and that people just, you know, this is the biggest bubble to the tune of $15 trillion that they've been calling for this to crash for years. Well, maybe we're getting closer to that point now more than ever. And, of course, you know, some of the key is our deficit. It stands at its widest level in 6 years in the wake of the tax cuts and other fiscal stimulus measures. The budget gap is expects to grow. The Moody's Investor Service expects the budget gap to grow to 8% of gross domestic product by 2028 from less than 4% now. So it's doubling. The dollar share of global foreign exchange reserves fell to 62% in the second quarter. It's the lowest level in 5 years. This is from the IMF. We know that Russia's central bank alone, they have sold as much as $85 billion in dollar-denominated assets, a move that may have been prompted, of course, by the U.S. sanctions. So, again, ladies and gentlemen, hey, open your pocketbooks, because you're the only thing that's left for the government to get money from.
Whoopee.
Yeah.
But, you know, go ahead.
No, I'm done.
We were talking during the break about, you know, China says that we said prepare for the next crisis because China's getting ready to dump stocks. Now, I'm sure they're invested in the U.S. stock market. I don't have much. I have no idea how much they got invested, but I'd say quite a bit. And would they be dumping these stocks, you think, to hurt us because of, you said, the tariffs we put on?
Is that possible? Absolutely. It all comes back to trade. They're going to fight back. They're not just going to whimper away like Mexico and Canada did. And I think Canada and Mexico, probably the reason they signed and went along with the U.S., maybe because they saw that the war with China might be bigger than what they were having, and maybe they'd be beneficiaries of something bigger coming from China. I don't know. That's my own possibility, and you know, but so absolutely these, and again, it always takes time for this stuff to play out. You know, there's no need, sometimes you'll see knee-jerk reactions, but knee-jerk reactions are temporary. You know, what we've been seeing is this buildup of debt of our, and it takes years. Look at the years that it's taken. I mean, we're talking about you know, the lowest level in 5 years for the dollar share of global foreign exchange falling to 62.5%. So it takes time for this stuff to go through, and that's the dangerous part, because when it does hit, guess who's surprised? guess who isn't prepared? And you're right. It is going to hit the pensions.
As usual.
As usual. The pensions, the retirement accounts. If you thought your standard of living was hurt back in 2008, well, hang on to your roof. Because your standard of living is going to continue to decline even worse. And but hey, everything's...
You know, it's amazing that you hear the news saying... We hear that, you know, the lowest unemployment rate since the 1960s, and I have no doubt that's true. People are probably all working at McDonald's or whatever. But
yeah,
I
they're
still,
working two jobs, so let's take one job away. Yeah, let's just take one job away.
Yep.
And
yep,
what would
they
that
are,
rate
and that's,
be?
I went to the store today, and I had to get a couple things. When I got Marcia through with her eye exam, and... you know, I was talking to a guy in there, and he said, I'm on a fixed income now. And so I notice every time I come in here, this groceries keep going up. I said, yeah, your income's not keeping up with the groceries going up, are they? Or is it? And he said, no, it's not. And I mean, you know, this isn't some kind of odd happenstance. This is everybody, Melody. This isn't just one guy. This is everyone out there that's making a living, and especially if they're retired. Inflation is still happening. I don't give a hoot what anybody says. Inflation is still happening. And inflation is a tax on your earnings, whether you like it or not. And it will take away your means of maintaining your standard of living. Now, am I telling the truth?
Absolutely.
I mean, gas is almost $3 a gallon most places. I think it's like $2.90 here is my guess. It's almost $3 a gallon. And I keep hearing the oil price is going down. Well, that's great. But... at going hovering between $2.75 and $3 a gallon of gas, is how much higher than it was last year? I think it said 30, 40 cents higher than it was last year,
mm-hmm.
if I remember
yes.
right.
Yes.
So I mean, if somebody puts in 20 gallon a week in a vehicle to go to work, at 40 cents, you know, that's $8 more a week. Multiply the times a year, that adds up, does it not?
Yes, it does. Particularly when you're having rates increase. It doesn't sound like a lot, but when you have rates increase and all of a sudden your credit card rates are going higher, your other premiums are going higher, everything, it's just not that one area that's going higher. And you know what?
No,
Larry Kudlow, my BFF, you know, he says stocks are falling on fear Democrats will win midterm elections and end pro-growth policies. That's the most that's what they're going to pitch. To make excuses instead of really talking
election.
About the
election.
Real thing. Huh?
It is election. Election time.
Yes.
They'll almost say anything during election time.
Well, no, what he's doing is making an excuse. They're using the election as an excuse for stocks falling. Scared that the Democrats are going to win and end the pro-growth policies. I don't think so. That wouldn't have affected the home sales that we've been talking about. That wouldn't have affected all these other things that we've been talking about. Caterpillar today dropped more than 10% following the release of its results before closing 7.5% lower. The company said its manufacturing costs rose due to higher material and freight costs. Material costs were driven by higher steel prices and tariffs. So this drop adds to Caterpillar's steep monthly losses. So the stock is down almost 22% for the month. So, you know, right now you're just seeing perhaps the impact on some of these corporate earnings. But when you're dropping, you know, the stock is down 22% for the month, 21.9% for the month. You have these manufacturing costs arising because of the higher steel price. You don't think that's not going to soon filter down? You betcha. They're not going to
absorb it
all.
And you know, now you may experience this before. I haven't until yesterday. I got a phone call yesterday from a local dealer here that sells cars, new and used cars. I bought a 2013 Ford Edge. 4 or 5 months ago. It's well used, but it's a nice little car. It had 100,000 miles on it, but I got a good deal on it. It runs great. But anyway, I bought the car, and for the first time ever, I got a call from the gentleman I bought it from. He says, if you know anybody to send my way, I'll see that you get a tank of gas or a free oil change or something if you have people that you know are looking to buy and send my way. Now, I've been around a long time, bought and traded a lot of cars over my lifetime. I've never had a salesman call up and offer me a deal, help him find customers give me a tank of gas or an oil change. Now, maybe you have. I haven't had it before. And I thought that's kind of unusual. Of all the times I've lived here in this area, and that's been a long time, I've never had that happen before. Now, is that unusual? I mean, have you had that before? I mean, car sales are going down. That's a fact. They are going down.
Lots of times, though,
have referrals. That may have something to do with it.
Lots of times, they'll have referrals of $50 or something. You know, but to actually call you, lots of times after you make after you purchase a vehicle, they might call you and thank you. But how long ago did you purchase it?
I've had that about 4 or 5 months ago. They called and thanked me for it, you know, a long time ago. But this first time I heard somebody call and say, hey, I mean, if you'll send somebody my way, I'll give you a tank of gas or something. But
yeah,
car sales are going down. I mean, that's all I can say. It is going down.
Yes, they are.
And I'm sure it's because it's a big ticket item. People just can't afford to go in debt anymore. Right? I mean, you can only buy it off so much.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're going to be it isn't because of the election that the stock market is going down. The U.S. corporate earnings seasons, it started off, you know, not very good. You have, what was the other company? Shares of 3M fell as much as 8.4%. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these earnings are not doing well. So what do you think the GDP is going to be? It's not going to be as robust as the last one. That's for sure. So,
wow.
So, I mean, it's we've been here before, but it's very difficult for people to embrace, not to embrace, but to accept.
Well, you know, in 2008, everything was booming too. It really was.
Yep.
Everything looked good and rosy. Everything was up and moving, and no one took it seriously.
Nope.
And even though Bob Chapman said it was going to happen, and other people did too, people still shrugged it off. Everything was going well. Well, I'm going to tell you what, and when it hit, and I know personally what it did, especially the Colorado Springs area, that place dried up like a prune overnight.
Yep.
Now it's back to moving again, but it really took a lot of people with it when it happened. So now we don't see the same thing. People trying to warn us, you know, warn people that don't, you know, be careful. But it's like the party's going on. They don't want to be bothered.
They don't want to go home.
That's true.
We're staying at the party no matter what. Just shut off the liquids and then we'll go home. And that's exactly, you know, it's the same thing. You know, they're going to shut off the money into, you know, all these dividends. You know, with rates rising, these corporations, they borrow to pay dividends. They borrow to buy back their shares. It's not based on on great earnings or anything like that. It's all bought and paid for by debt. So rates rates rise. That's why they're scared to death with these higher rates. These corporations can't borrow any more at the low price. You know, their debt is costing them more. And all of a sudden, you're going to start seeing the dividends dry up. You're going to see their shares beginning to tank. And that's exactly what we're, you know, it's, and you know what, though, Pastor Butch? 2008, 2009, when the market tanked, I'll tell you what, I was on the phone almost 24/7. But people waited till the last minute. And then they couldn't get enough. This time around, they're going to wait for the last minute, and there's not going to be enough product to go around, and that's a fact.
Wow.
They're going to be looking for gold, and it's going to happen so quick. You know, you look at the pre-1933 coins, there's a limited supply of them. Yeah, you know, when, you know, things work normal, there, you know, we can buy and sell and, you know, there's no issues. I remember being on the phone after 2008. Prices were rising so quickly, I'd have to call to see what was available, put them on hold briefly, check with my customers, says, this is the price. I'd get back, lock it in, get back, and says, well, while I was locking it in, it went up $10 or $20 or $50.
Wow.
And that's the truth.
Wow.
That is true.
And a different topic. I got to ask you this question. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. We're running out of time so fast. What do you think about the bomb in George Soros' mailbox?
I could care less.
That's that question.
I could care less.
I understand. I know exactly how you feel. But I thought it was something. George Soros, who's a wicked, cut through and through individual, you know, they found one of his employees found a bomb in his mailbox. And I thought, you know, this is, what's that mean? I mean, this guy is almost untouchable. So.
Well, yeah. Well, was it his personal mailbox? Was it his office mailbox? I mean, I can't. You know, it's was it his? You know,
well, it says is at his Westchester County home.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just kind of, I mean, I want to get that out for a run out of time. But I just kind of curious about that. That's,
well, you know what? This is what's happening with the amount of violence in this country. It's both sides out to get even, out to get somebody. Eventually, someone is going to get hurt. Seriously.
Yes, they are.
And we saw it, in fact, you know, but nobody talks about when they shot Scalise. Nobody, you know, it's always the, you know, they never focus, the media never focuses on all the violence that that side creates, but it's just a matter of time until something nasty, bad is going to happen.
It is, and probably planned that way.
Yes, by design.
Absolutely, just like 9/11 and the rest of them, probably planned that
maybe
way.
Maybe like that guy who went to get his divorce paper so he could remarry in Saudi Arabia, Khashoggi.
Oh, yeah,
Khashoggi.
There you go. Yeah, I just, you know, this we are living in a time that's very dangerous, Melody.
We really are.
The fuse is lit, and how much time before it goes off, I have no idea. But something's going to give. We're going to see it.
And we've just given up our hour of financial survival, and it was wonderful to spend the hour with you, Butch.
Thank you.
And good luck to you on Thursday. We'll talk to you before then, and hope Marsha is doing well. So until then, ladies and gentlemen, be safe, good night, and God bless.
That's too bad.